Hey everyone, good evening and welcome to the Boomerang Radio Show. Hey, coming to you each and every Sunday right here on this network. Yes. Oh, I see most of my panelists here. Hey guys, how are you? Mike, Mad Mike.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Outstanding as always. Just living my life. Like I said, I pushed the cruise control button about 2.5 years ago, and I've just been on a glide path ever since.
Hey, that's living. That's living. That is living. That's how you do it. De-stress. You know, take the weight off your shoulders, right? Brother Tisdale, your mic is muted. Okay. While he's doing that. There he is. Yes, sir. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. Good evening to all. Good to see each one of you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining again. Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. Hey, my brother.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, loud and clear.
Good.
And Wooten Taylor. Hey, Ann, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty terrific, except for it's a little cold out here in Richmond.
Aww, oh, you yeah. Big baby. You cold on the East Coast? What's your toad on? Told you it did warm.
Oh. the acclimation process is taking a while. I'm telling you. Wow. Hey guys, thank you so much for being here. I'm searching for topics to talk about on our Boomerang Radio Show. Oh, let me do this. Welcome to our audience, wherever you are around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be doing anything, but you took your time to listen to us. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. You guys got the memo, okay? I want to talk about childhood poverty or child poverty. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about corrupt preachers. And then how does all of this tie up with the mental health conditions condition in the country? How much does that, those two things, preachers, okay? Well, we have to talk about politicians as well, okay? And how much is that? And, oh, corrupt preachers and those other architects, how much do they contribute to the mental health condition and mental illness overall, okay? So a couple of things I want to do, but I just want to share that with you. I'm going to start off with a video. I hope I can make this work, Ann. Okay, otherwise I might have to call Caven.
Okay. Thank you. You should have had it there in the beginning.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Hold on 1 second. Let's see if we can make this work for you. All right, hold on. There he is.
It's supposedly aimed at the
can you hear that?
Students and the lowest performing students.
Yes.
What's the measure of improvement for this money coming in? How much has it improved the performance of these students?
Tennessee Republican state lawmaker John Reagan questioned yesterday whether the state should accept federal funds that in part go toward feeding school children unless it can be proven. He needs to see the receipts. He needs to see the proof that feeding these kids actually improves their performance in school. And you know what? Great. What a worthy experiment. Instead of running that experiment on kids, though, let's run that experiment on this lawmaker. Hey, Reagan, how about you starve and then come to, your state's capital and see how that impacts your focus and your ability to do your job.
I'm going to stop it right there just for a second, and we'll be right back with this. Can you believe this? He wants to know, he wants receipts on how feeding hungry children, okay? He wants receipts on that. Okay. How does that improve their performance? We'd be better. Okay. Let me see. I got
plus
so angry.
I know what the Republican Party is like.
It's
really.
Absolutely.
They don't like to help people, William, at all. They are the most selfish, hypocritical, racist bunch of idiots on the planet. If it involves helping people, they call it socialism. That's their definition for anything. Mm-hmm. That's some type of plan that will aid people who are poor, people who are starving, even to the point of elderly people. We've already talked about them wanting to roll back Social Security, and this is money that people have worked for and paid into the system. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, they've got something like a disability or whatever. But yeah, they don't like helping people at all.
This is absolutely incredible. And I'm going to play a little bit more of this. It's a scientific and medical fact that hungry kids do not do well in school.
Hungry people don't do well, period. If somebody is hungry, a lot of the time, they're really hungry, they will get to the point where they're so desperate that they will steal. Have you ever heard of people going to a store stealing food because they're hungry?
Absolutely.
It happens. That's just the way it is. Food is a necessity. We all need it. Yeah. So it's no big leap to understand that your brain isn't going to function properly so that you can think, you know, in school if you don't eat. It's 1 + 1 = 2. It's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's not.
All of that.
It's fundamental.
Oh, wow. And Mike, how cruel can you be? Okay.
I'm going to go a different direction with this because I like to play devil's advocate with you guys.
Okay.
How is this gentleman wrong for asking for the receipts? How is he wrong for saying, okay, you're making a statement. Can you show me the proof that your statement is true and factual? Again, I deal with truth, facts, evidence. That's my living. And I will tell you from a personal standpoint that I went to school without eating breakfast. All my life. The first meal that I had in any given day was usually at what normally would people would call dinner time. Now, yes, I'm not the norm. I get it. But I mean, I spent 10, 12, 15 hours a day doing my job, and many times I didn't get to stop and eat, and I still perform my job. So is it cruel and inhumane to not feed anyone, whether they're a child or not, especially children? Yes, it is. But I'm going to say that this gentleman, he's proposing a question. Can you show me the receipts on this that it's actual, true, and factual? And I don't think it, as a lawmaker, if he is going to justify spending money towards programs, it needs to be justified. Any program, not just feeding children, any program. Again, let me preface it by saying we need to feed everybody that we can possibly feed, and children, and start with the children, because I can go without food for 3-4 days and I'm fine. The only thing that happens with me is I get a little dehydrated sometimes, so I just need water. And let me add to the water aspect of this. It scientifically, a 2% drop in your hydration, let me say it right here. It affects your mental ability to think. A 2%, that's a very small drop in hydration. So think about what food might do if you don't get that nourishment for your brain besides just water, because you got two entities here. You got food and water. So if a 2% drop in hydration affects your mental acuities, what does a 2% drop in nutrition do to you? So again, I'm trying to argue both sides of the situation here. But again, I don't think it's wrong for this gentleman to say, okay, you're saying this is is true and factual. Show me.
Now, there's one part that you missed in the very beginning. I would toss it over to Danny because I want to hear his side of this as well. This is not the state's money. In the beginning, the young lady prefaced it by saying that this is the federal government wanting to granting this money, $1.8 billion, to feed these hungry children. His thing
is still wrong for him to ask questions?
Yes, yeah, I'm gonna tell you why it is. Because it it is not his money. He wants to reject this money from the federal government. Okay? He wants to reject the money. It is not his money. It has been allocated before. Okay? And I don't want to spoil the rest of this clip because there are receipts that those districts that did that had this program going on before or have it going on right now, there is an increase in their learning. Now,
show it to this guy. Well, show it to this guy. Say, here you go. Here's some.
Well, that's what they're giving him. I haven't gotten to the point of the video yet, Mike.
Oh, sorry. I'll sit over here in the corner and be quiet.
Danny, your take. Cruelty. Okay. Not starving children. And I really don't care. Well, I do care that children do learn, but I think that you have a better chance of learning if you're hungry. Now, Mike is weird anyway. Some people require more than one meal a day.
True.
Some people do.
It's
okay.
True.
I don't always eat three meals a day. I don't always do that. But I'm not going to go to bed hungry. These children who don't have the benefit of this program, they have to go to bed hungry. And on any level, okay, and like I said, it's not the state's money. It's the federal government. And so the question is, why does he want to reject this?
Great question.
Danny?
I would say this, that the condition of children in poverty, even from 2021, it was 5.2% of children were living in poverty. In 2022, the figure went all the way up to 12.4%.
Sure did.
Over 9 million children are living in conditions of poverty in the United States. But we can send $700 billion to support Ukraine in a war. My understanding, charity begins at home.
Amen.
As
it should. It's something missing in this situation. Poverty, we probably throw enough food away on a daily.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Nobody should be hungry. But with people that we have in different positions of authority, like this particular gentleman here, I understand accountability for where the money is going, because you are to count up the costs for anything mm-hmm. that you do. Mm-hmm. And when you do it that way, that's important. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how we allow certain just individual people in these positions to be able to block the will of the people.
Isn't that something?
Or the need of the people. That makes a little sense to me. That's where I am until we can get further clarification on why this guy is standing in the position that he's standing.
Isn't that something? Yeah, and you find out it's more and more of that going on. And they already know where the money, they already know where it goes. How, and they know how to allocate the money. Okay. The plan is already in place. So yeah. Then it goes back to the question, and you find out later in this video that you have experts that came in, from these districts. They came in and told him, gave him facts and figures on, okay, yeah, we increased by this, after this program was implemented, the test scores went up.
Okay.
There you go. So give him that and tell him to go sit down in the corner and shut up.
And the problem is,
give him the information, give him the clues, facts, and evidence, and say, okay, we listen to you. Here's what you asked for. Go away.
Dr. Demery.
Yes, sir. I had my mic turned off.
Okay, that's okay. All right. Your take on all of this.
Well, I would say, first of all, I mean, and I'm not being disrespectful. I hope you don't take it this way, but Mike had a choice to not eat breakfast. These kids don't have a choice.
Amen. Right.
That's true.
That's a big difference, point one. Point two, it has been scientifically proven, and I'm not a nutritionist, and I'm not a scientist, but the fact is proven. The brain only works on carbohydrates. That's the only thing that makes the brain function. The synapse in the brain cells only work on carbohydrates. So in order for a child to be able to function properly, just at the minimal level, they need carbohydrates. They need proper nutrition. And this is her bailiwick. She can probably chime in at a point here too. And the point being is that proper nutrition is vital for everyone. So if you deny someone proper nutrition, I mean, you are being detrimental to their health, detrimental to their growth, especially if it's a child, because proper nutrition is important for proper growth, for cell structure, for development, you know, their body to develop properly. And when you deny those things, you are being a recalcitrant. Now, if you want to go look up what the word recalcitrant is, just continue to listen to this nut.
By the way, Dr. Demery, I agree with everything you just said because it was my choice. And yes, you're absolutely correct. And people obviously do better with proper hydration, proper nutrition. I'm not disagreeing with it at all. I'm trying to take this guy's side for whatever reason he's taking this stance. And I'm trying to run with it a little bit just to be a little bit of a devil's advocate here. So Dr. Demery, I do agree with you and I appreciate your thoughts and your comments.
Right. And you know, one thing about what I like about what you're doing, Mike, because when maybe that approach that you say play devil's advocate can give us some insight on what these people think, what's driving them. Because the question is, and like I said, it's already been, determined how the funds ought to be allocated. They have receipts on the improvement, you know, and it is not costing the state a dime. He says, no, we don't want it. More of this.
Let's do that.
Sounds
let's start
like foolishness.
Now, we'll get back to our friend John in just a minute, but here's what you should know about what's happening in Tennessee, what the lawmakers there are trying to do, and why it could be a massive issue. So the legislature has set up something known as the Joint Working Group on Federal Education Funding, and what they're trying to do is determine whether the state of Tennessee can reject. They're looking for ways to literally reject $1.8 billion in federal education funds. Okay, so Tennessee receives $1.8 billion in Title I, IDEA, and other federal program funding each year, which support low-income students, students with disabilities, and school lunch programs. Oh man, federal funds to support low-income students and students with disabilities? Let's find ways to reject that money. That's literally what they're looking to do. Now, the working group was appointed by House Republican Speaker Cameron Sexton and Republican Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally. And the group is comprised of six Republicans and, oh, look, there's a lot of equality here. Two Democrats from both the House and the Senate. So six Republicans, two Democrats. The Joint Working Group on Federal Education Funding is reviewing what funding state and local governments in Tennessee receive from the federal government, how the funding is used, whether the state could provide the same services, and whether it would be feasible to reject the funds. Now, the members are tasked with recommending a strategy for how to reject that federal funding by January 9th. And that's the day that the legislature is scheduled to return to session next year, okay? Now, Tennessee would, in fact, be the first state in the nation to reject this money, $1.8 billion in federal education funding. Tennessee, I should note, is doing really well in the rankings for education in the state. Out of 50 states, they have ranked 33rd. 33rd, everybody. Give them a big round of applause. So let's try to find ways to cut funding to public education. I'm sure it's going to work out great. Lieutenant Governor Randy McNally justified the move by saying, quote, "The education of our youth is one of the essential responsibilities of our government. Federal dollars and the various mandates and restrictions that come with those dollars affect the way Tennessee's children are educated. Due to our state's excellent financial position, this is a worthy subject of examination and study." And Cameron's
okay. Did any of that make any sense to anybody, what their argument is?
Nope.
There's something else. There's something underlying here. Because
evil.
There was no common sense in denying those funds that would appropriately help kids in many different divisions, different areas. That just doesn't make sense to me. There's something else going on here. There's some type of political agenda that's driving this from what I can see so far.
Well, there was one thing that he said that she said that what she was reading, brother. If you notice when she said that, part of his argument is that along with those funds, there are regulations on how that money is allocated and appropriated. And
accountability.
He's saying a quiet thing out loud. I do not want to be accountable. We do not want to be accountable by the feds.
Why?
Anybody hearing the same thing I am?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, it's a big part of it. They don't, why? It's because they're dirty. I mean, just look at what's going on in Arkansas. Our governor, and they're all so shocked.
Oh.
Has spent supposedly
$19,000
on a podium.
Oh, on a lectern.
Right. Podium, lectern, whatever. Coincidentally, went on a trip, an expensive trip with her friend, and paid her friend a similar amount of money.
So now
what's happened is we want to change the FOIA laws, meaning the Freedom of Information Act laws, to make it more difficult for people to track what it is she's doing.
Why?
She claims it's because she didn't want people to be able to get information about her kids. But what it
they
is.
They don't want transparent. Oh, come on.
Yeah, she didn't want people to,
they don't want the transparency.
People know what you've done because of the Freedom of Information Act.
Uh-huh.
That's why we know you didn't spend this money on a lectern.
That's
and
right.
You don't want people to be able to figure out what it is you're doing. So she learned well from her former boss. And I don't know why they thought it would be any different. She basically admitted that she was doing what we all knew she was doing, lying. She, in my opinion, has no business being the governor of anything. But okay.
Yeah. You know,
I voted for her. She's in office, but that's just basically Republican 101, especially the more extreme they are. They don't want accountability, as the gentleman both, stated. You're completely, on point about that. But another thing they don't want is to assist those who they deem are unworthy of assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are generally black and brown people. Of course, they don't like poor white people that much or people with disabilities either.
Mm-hmm.
And although they claim, you know, to have so much concern about babies, and children, it apparently only is in terms of the unborn kids, because a lot of white women have abortions or don't want to have kids at all, and they are concerned about losing a white majority in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole lot more going on with that dynamic than what we have time to peel back. It's just Republican 101.
That's right.
They don't like helping people, period. They want to make sure that if anybody is going to be benefited, it will be them, meaning the because let's face it, most Republicans are white. It's the white, quote unquote, elite. It's white people, period. That's the way they want it. They want everyone else to be second tiered individuals and them the first tiered individuals. And that's just Republican 101. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm,
it's not, I didn't make it that way. I just happened to observe that over my 40 some odd years on this planet.
Yeah. and that's why I'm saying, I don't buy this both sides garbage. I don't buy it. Like I said, you got a few bad apples on the Democratic side, but you look at the Republican side. I mean, it is loaded. I mean, shucks, if it was a basketball game, it'd be a blowout. I'm serious about that. But now, but let me share something with you also. But did you hear the latest on your governor there? There's also another scandal where she spent over $53,000 and looked like it was she might even added it, talk about it in this thing here too. $53,000 and the address was 123 Street anywhere, Arkansas or something, any town, something like that. It was really stupid. And they had the nerve, they had the nerve enough to journal this. And then it's a whole bunch of other receipts that, seemingly she can't, account for. And like you said, you're trying to get rid of the FOIA Act. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely they are. I'm going to play a little bit more of this because it's fascinating. You know, as horrible as it is, it's fascinating. I think we need to be aware of what's really happening in our city.
Sexton added or argued that it would allow us to create an education system that fits the Tennessee model and allow teachers to teach without the federal government trying to tell us what to do. The state will pick up the cost and still fund those things. But we will be free of the federal regulations. If they are genuinely doing well in the state of Tennessee and they have the ability to reject the federal funding while still maintaining the services that the public education system provides, that's fine. But something tells me that's not the case. So let's come back to our good friend John Reagan, who expressed concern that accepting money to help low-income and hungry students might not really be a worthy cause.
Are you
serious? Thinks it might be useless. And then he tried to pretend like he cares about food waste. Look, I'll steal man. I'm going to pretend like everything he's saying is in good faith. So let's listen to his argument and then we'll dissect it. Let's watch.
Correlation is not causation. Anybody that knows statistics will vouch for that. That said though, if we are tying ourselves to the federal government by accepting their money to do this thing, then it would seem to me that we as a state should be looking for the improvements that this money is purportedly going to make. Otherwise, we're just throwing money at something and being potentially wasteful. That goes back to the other issue that I asked about, though, the compliance issue. Yesterday, a question was addressed concerning the nutrition program related to the waste that's involved in that. To my knowledge, there is no measurement of that waste. Are you aware of any measure?
In terms of food waste?
Yes.
I'm not aware. I don't know the answer to that.
Because it's a stupid.
I mean, it is rich to hear a guy who looks like he hasn't skipped a single meal question whether these children should be fed school lunch and whether being hungry has any impact on their ability to perform in school. I'll give you a little bit of research. I mean, there's a lot of research out there. We'll give you one example of that research. This is a 2014 report. Children who do not get sufficient meals are more likely to repeat a grade. Elementary children who participated in a school breakfast program in Massachusetts did better on standardized tests than those who qualified but did not participate. Similarly, students in a universal free school breakfast program at an inner city school showed improved math grades 6 months after the start of the program. But you know, there's no evidence, according to John Reagan in Tennessee. And so, I don't know, WAS, maybe that's where they need to cut corners. Maybe that's where they don't really need to spend any money. You know, I'm sure it's useless. What do you think?
So, this is not ridiculous about the children, it's about control.
7,000 different fronts. Obviously this guy couldn't present a case for not feeding, financially, you know, disadvantaged students on the federal government's dime. Just the idea that the state government would say, no, we don't want these federal dollars. There's no, like, it's essentially free money outside of certain standards that need to be kept and met at your public institutions. It's essentially free money. And this idea that, like, no, as a state, we should say, screw those stipulations and, we'll cover the windfall. That's just bad math. That's bad accounting. No accountant would ever tell you to do this. They would say, take the money, figure out how to make it work later. As far as the stipulations concerned, $1.8 billion is nothing to sneeze at. And where I think these people err, Anna, is that I think traditionally when you could paint a program as low income or, you know, financially disadvantaged, you could code that as essentially the black and brown people of our state, people that we don't need to care about. But this ain't the 80s, Jack. After deindustrialization, after free trade, after the shipping of all these great jobs, a lot of your constituents qualify for these benefits.
That's right.
And nobody is going to say to themselves, my kid doesn't deserve free lunch because it came from the evil, disgusting, sick federal government. And so that's why this is a stupid calculation on this dude's part.
I totally agree. And look, I can't help but think about this story in a...
Okay, let's get back. Wow.
This guy wants to be able to thumb his nose at the federal government. That's his deal here.
That makes no sense.
It's become quite evident here that his whole thing, it's not about the money so much as being able to control what the federal government can and cannot do in his state. Mm-hmm. So again, it's about beating his chest, getting on his soapbox and having control. And he wants to be able to thumb his nose at the federal government. And that's why he's doing this. It has nothing to do with taking care of the kids, has nothing to do with the $1.8 billion, whatever. It's about his control and not accepting the federal government's control over his state, over him.
This is
personal.
I've got another question. Danny?
Yes.
Could it be that he wanted control of that money? And perhaps they would pocket some of that money?
Without accountability.
Without accountability?
It seems that could be one of the motivations for his position.
Yeah, because I can't see him being very popular now, even among his constituents. Because keep in mind, in Tennessee, there are quite a few hungry white children there, too.
Which is true.
It don't mean they won't keep voting for him.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't, but it's just like Trump's constituent that they interviewed. He was sick at his doctor's office. They were trying to get rid of Obamacare, ACA. And the man and his wife were talking about the fact that he needed his medicine, he would die, and that the insurance was helping. That the federal government has sponsored, but he said he would vote for Trump again anyway. So this is how deeply rooted the foolishness is in these people. They don't care that they will be negatively impacted. You have to let go of logic and reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue with them.
They're voting with emotion.
It's not just emotion. It's more than that. This is one of those things where, you know, I have to be on, I just have to say it. It's like you people are demonically influenced. It's a cult. It's something. It's weird.
And
because there is no way that you are going to negatively impact me and I'm going to keep voting for you. Like for instance, the stuff that's going on with Israel and Hamas. You've got the congresswoman who is I forget her name, who's Muslim, but you know, she's like, okay, Joe Biden, we are going to remember this. The Muslim community,
Ilhan Omar,
which side of this you fell on. Okay, on the one hand, you understand that this is a deep-seated issue between the Jews and the Palestinians over there that has repercussions back home. But at the same time, there's no trying to convince them about which side is right. The Muslims, they believe they're right. The Jews, they believe they're right. And I haven't been living over there, so I don't even want to begin to guess about who has, you know, who's right and who's wrong. All I do know is it's very difficult to talk to anybody on one side or the other in a way that they're both gonna try to see each other's point of view. And that's what you've got going on here. You've got, no matter what happens, I'm not going to see your point of view. Yes, I know Hamas attacked the Jews and took people hostage, still have people hostage. But to the Muslims, they still don't think that the Jews should have retaliated. And then you've got the flip side of that. Yes, Hamas killed 1,400 people. It was a horrible terrorist attack. They still think they're justified in bombing hospitals and whatnot. You can't get through to either side because of what is so deeply rooted within them. And that's the kind of thing you've got going on with these people who are MAGA Republicans, these extremists. They can't see anything but what they want to see, their point of view. Nobody else's matters.
Mm-hmm. You know, when just before you started talking, I pulled up because I looked it up earlier, and that is cult. And you said that, actually said it. Is it a cult? And I think that you are on to something now. I really think you're on to something. Cult is a term, and in most contexts, pejorative. A relatively small group, I mean, I have to disagree with that part because it's millions of them out here, for relatively a small group, which is typically led by a charismatic and self-appointed leader. Does that ring any bells to you? Who excessively...
No, it's not charismatic.
Yeah. Self-appointed, I agree with. Who excessively controls its members, requiring unwavering devotion to a set of beliefs and practices which are considered deviant outside of the norms of society. The term is also used along with a new religious movement or social group, which is defined by its unusual religious, spiritual, psychological, and rituals and common interests. Let's see, in particular, person, object, or goal. I'm going to stop right there. You guys get the idea. All of that is going on right now because we're asking, why would these people buy into so many seemingly demonic things or evil things or bad things? Why would they do that? Even at the risk of not being appointed again.
Benefiting from it.
Say it again, Mike.
Even at the risk of them not benefiting from the decisions they're making to support whoever this individual is that's actually doing harm to them, they're still willing to support them because I believe the term zealot is the correct term. And Dr. Demery, jump in here. But when you deal with zealots, there's no rational thinking involved. It's all, I'm going back to the term emotional again. It's like, well, this is how I see it, and I don't care what you got to say, and I don't care if it harms me along the way. This is what I believe, and that's all I believe. And Dr. Demery?
Sorry, I had my mic turned off. Well, you know, I don't want to jump ahead of anybody, William, but, I mean, to respond to Mike, it's more a clear definition of fanaticism. And fanaticism is someone who will, like a lemming, you know, one lemming jumps off the cliff and all the rest of them follow right behind him. It's a fanatical, psychotic situation. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, hopefully, William, when we get a chance to talk about these corrupt preachers.
Yes.
I did my research on that. I mean, there's no difference, you know, between the two. And I think there's another underlying issue that we haven't looked at, and that is there are some Republicans, and there was an article, I don't know if I can find it, I'll try to see if I can find it, that would not receive funding from the federal government because it came from, you know, Joe Biden, who's a Democrat. So how asinine is that, along with the fact that, you remember, and William has brought this back to our attention, when McConnell said, we're going to disagree with Obama, no matter what he comes up with, even if it's for the betterment of our country, we're going to disagree with it. That is fanaticism, you know? I mean, it's beyond demonic. It's because you can fight the devil because you can see evil. You can face evil head on. But fanaticism, you cannot. Because fanaticism is binging on being psychotic. Mike has had to deal with, and I did too, as police officers, to deal with someone who is a zealot as opposed to dealing with someone who's a fanatic. Big difference. Big mm-hmm. difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, facing someone who's a fanatic is like someone being on PCP. I mean, not that people use PCP anymore, but basically, correct me, Mike, if I'm wrong. PCP, you know what PCP is? Oh. Elephant tranquilizer.
Animal tranquilizer, yeah.
Yeah, but they use it for horses and elephants. So can you imagine you put that in a 150-pound human being? Oh, my gosh.
Mm-mm. Amazing, amazing. Let's go around the table, Danny.
You know, what I like to say is that sometimes the rejection of what they want to define as being socialism is not a bad thing. Why can't we have universal health here in America? Why can't people be fed that are hungry and that can't do any better? Why are the prices so far out of range? We have become a society filled with greed, and it doesn't even make sense. Like, I agree with so many things that has been said right here on this panel. Dr. Demery hit on it. Mike hits on it. You know, we have people. If you look up the definition of communism and look at what our Republican friends look like, they are a good definition of what communism is and what it looks like. Being in total control over somebody's rights with not one iota.
Can you guys hear me? Because I can't hear anything.
Say it again.
Anne's having trouble hearing us, but we can hear you, Anne.
Andy, can you hear me now? She may have to log off. But so fanaticism, as Dr. Demery was just speaking to, there's a hidden motive behind what I believe a lot of these people are doing, and if it's no more than to distract away from so they can get away with something else.
Oh, it's a little smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
I apologize for interrupting you, Brother Tisdale. I kind of lost sound. I couldn't hear what you were saying for a few minutes. I caught the very end of it when the sound came back. But I think you wanted to add something. Mike, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with Danny that a lot of this is wrong on so many levels because everyone wants to do things that are going to benefit them at the expense of others. And that is just on a human nature point of view. That is just wrong. When you develop a stance where you're standing on your brother's neck for any reason whatsoever, and then you can only justify it through being a zealot and saying, well, that's just the way it is. And if you disagree with me, then you're wrong, 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 wrong. I've got a real problem with that. I can deal with rational people, but I can't deal with the fanaticism and such that Dr. Demery's talking about. It's just like, there's just no way to rationally get to some people.
That's right.
Well, but that's, go ahead, Dr. Demery.
Well, I think the thing that I was also referring to is the fact that, you know, it does go back to what Mike was saying, and it goes back to a little bit what Danny was touching on. I'm sorry, I call him Deacon Tisdale because I always known him as Deacon Tisdale. But the thing is that it is binging on, as I think William slightly commented on and others have, it is slightly demonic. Because when you think about the demonic, you think about Beelzebub, you think about the Satan or the Satan. You think about the evil forces that fund what's going on in terms of the separation. I mean, look it. In the book Helter Skelter that Charles Manson wrote and talked about his cult and how he was going to have a race war and all this other kind of stuff and cause havoc in the United States, those of you who've read it, I don't know if you got a chance to read it, but that's basically what's going on. Those people that he controlled were demonic, led by a leader who was a fanatic, who was out
evil.
Of his mind. Yeah, he was evil. He was out of his mind. And that's what happens to any cult that William was talking about. And as he was defining what a cult is, now, you know, I'm not saying that all Republicans, because I agree with what Mike says, we have to look at a balance. We have to find some homeostasis in terms of there's corruption on both sides, and there's people that have to be held accountable on both sides of the coin. But we also have to look at the fact that as a group, as a collective group of people, when you look at what the Republicans are doing, I know this is, you know, Mike and William, we're going back and forth about this, but when you look at them as a whole, the definition that you can almost find, and I'll be done, Ann, I don't want to ramble too much.
No, you're fine.
But
the talk show.
the process is, you know, binging on what demonic possession is. Because how can you go about, I mean, and that's completely different. Like, for example, I had a politician come to my church. It was going to give us $50,000 so that he could come and launch part of his campaign for my church. I said, absolutely not. I said, we will be broke. I said, I'll burn this church down. Before I let someone come in and corrupt.
Amen.
Corrupt in the process.
Amen. You
know? And that's because I know there's a lot of preachers, and we're going to come to it, William. I don't want to jump ahead.
That's all right.
Preachers. There's some preachers that will sell their soul. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll sell their whole mama, their mama, their family, daddy, brother, sister, everybody.
That's right.
For a dollar.
Well, you know? I don't think that they're all necessarily demonically possessed. I think they are demonically influenced, and maybe that's
right.
A real subtle distinction, but it's one thing to be forcibly, you know, taken over by a malevolent entity like a demon, and then to be influenced by every human being, is influenced, by demons. That's how we end up sinning. They know that we're weak. They tempt us. And sometimes we give in, other times we don't. And so I think in this particular case, they've been tempted, they've been seduced. And the seduction is so strong, you know, and it looks to them like they're winning in so many different ways, and they're going to stick with it the same way, you know, a drug addict sticks with smoking crack, likes it, you know, the same way a man cheating on his wife keeps doing it, likes it. Because, you know, it's working for them, or they're getting pleasure out of it. They're getting something
positive reinforcement from it.
Exactly. And in this particular case, they've gotten a lot of positive reinforcement. Those with racist tendencies have been able to come out of the closet with that crap. Then you've got those who've been pushing forever for, abortion rights to be rescinded. They got what they wanted. They got a lot of judges on the bench. So for the next, you know, 2-3 decades, there's no telling what type of quote unquote justice will be meted out, under these folks. Not only that, they have basically just turned things on their head. It's, America is a very chaotic place. Right now, and I'm not saying that America is perfect. I'm a black woman who in America, I know America is not perfect, but we did have certain norms, that we were trying to stick by. You know, for instance, we all knew especially the black people, we all knew the Republican Party was full of racists, but they by and large shut up for the most part. They didn't, they weren't all vocal with that. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's pretty mainstream for them to just say what they think and what they feel. Mm-hmm. And their constituents, it's pretty mainstream for them to do the same thing. So, and it's not just them. You know, that they do the same thing in terms of Jews. You heard anybody that Trump's criticized, they feel like they've got free rein, to speak against those people and to make laws, against not just that group of people, but against our basic norms. Freedom of speech is being attacked on a regular basis. I mean, why are the governor here is trying to legislate against people using terms in school to define themselves as he, she, or they? First of all, that's just fundamentally American, that you have the right to say what you want to say. If I want to tell you, don't call me he, don't call me he, call me she, or don't call me she, call me they, that's my business. I can say that. Now, it's your right to not say it. You look like a she to me, so I'm going to say she. You know what I'm saying? Go. I've got that same right. And for you to try to legislate it away is clearly unconstitutional, clearly undemocratic. But that's what we're dealing with. They are systematically trying to legislate away a whole lot of things, including they want to make changes to the Constitution of the United States. That joker that they've got there as the Speaker of the House, he's part of some group, I forget what it's called, COS for short, whatever. But they actively want to make a whole lot of changes to the Constitution of the United States, including, you know, some of the most fundamental stuff like freedom of religion, the prohibition against church and state. Not saying that they'll necessarily get there because of the high bar they have to clear, but still, this is what we're dealing with when it comes to these extremists that you've got, in Congress, in the Senate, and then on the local level all over the country.
Absolutely. You know, you're right. I'm going to agree with, Mike, I'm going to agree with you on one thing. Okay. And that is all Republicans aren't bad. We just don't have any good ones in Congress or in the Senate. All right. They got voted out because going back, and I'm going to tell you a prime example. What Nixon did. Oh my goodness. Versus what Trump is accused of, allegedly. Okay. Accused of with 91 counts, 4 indictments and rape child, all these, you know, okay. And if he is innocent of all these things, he's got to be the most unlucky, the unluckiest man in the world. Come on now. Come on. But anyway, my point is,
you know I'm not a fan of either side politician.
I understand.
Load him in a bus and, well,
no.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't talking.
I'm going to retract that. But I they need to clean house. They need to eliminate both sides, get new people in there, new blood in there, young blood in there, people that have some good thinking heads on their shoulders, some critical thinking skills where they can come in and do right by the people of the United States, and even beyond that, because the United States has in the past set the groundwork for what was accepted as right and wrong throughout the world for many, many years. And Dr. Demery, you've been all over this world. And I hope you'd agree with me that the United States was held as the pillar of what was right and wrong and good versus evil. We're not in that place anymore, and that's shameful on our part. And as an old redneck, I feel very badly about that because I remember growing up with my two military parents, both fought in World War II, and the pride that we had and the pride that we had in our veterans and in our society where people were doctors and lawyers and nurses and firefighters and did the right thing. And now those people are being held up as people that are no longer respected in our society. And that's shameful. And the world sees this, by the way. The world sees what's going on in the United States because, again, they look to us kind of like as the go-to. I don't see the world looking at to the United States as the go-to anymore. Dr. Demery, I'd really love to hear your opinion because I know you've traveled the world and you're a military man yourself, law enforcement yourself, and I think you have a distinct perspective on what I just said.
Well, I think Mike, part of what you're saying is true, and there is some criteria you have to base all of this on. Everything you're saying is true. And this is a true story now. I think I've told this story before. William, if I'm repeating myself, correct me. When I got out of chaplain school, I had my choker whites on, had my shoulder boards on, and I went to a restaurant in my full white dress, white uniform. I went to a restaurant that a friend of mine had. I had never been to the South before. I didn't know anything about the South. I'm a Southern California boy. Danny, you know the South much better than I do. And I went to this restaurant. And me and my friend were saying, he was in his uniform too. I was in my uniform, had our covers on and everything, you know, spit and shine. And this lady came up to me. This was the lady that was going to take our order at the restaurant. And she said, sir, you know, there's two things in life I don't like. Flies and niggas. I don't know which one I hate worse. Do you know what that did to me?
I can imagine.
That destroyed me at that moment. And I recovered because I'm saying to myself, I see what my father was talking about in World War II when he fought and he couldn't even come back and eat in a restaurant because of the color of his skin. And so the only thing that I'm saying, Mike, there's a perspective that sometimes the righteous people like you, I'm assuming that you're righteous, brother. You know, the people who I think you know, who are slightly objective, you know, in the way they look at things. And I think you do. And I think you do have a moral center, which is good. But there is a big part of society that does not. And so all that took place, I reflected back in my mind. My father was in uniform. We were in Las Cruces, New Mexico. He was in uniform. And the guy would not give us gas because my father was black.
And we were and 30 or 40 years later, the same thing happened to you.
What's that?
So over, it's because it happened to your father and 30 or 20, 30, 40 years later, the same thing happened to you when you went in that restaurant.
Well, the point that I want to make, and I'll be done, William, you can take it or, and.
No, take it.
I said to myself, what has changed? What kind
That's my
of
point.
Fabric has occurred since then and now. This was, you know, I'm thinking, like you said, Mike, about 40 years later, you know, there's places in the South today, whether you realize this, Danny, you correct me because you a little older than most of us and you know what the South is like, where there are black and white drinking fountains today.
There's a
spigot is running straight down the pole. It splits off like that. Black folks, white folks.
Yep.
Now you tell me what kind of nonsense that is. All living in America, all saying, you know, apple pie, singing the national anthem, you know, God bless America. Come on, man.
That's just evil.
If I can jump in right here on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I went to a painting of love, the painting of love.